Tonight we'll begin our third lesson in the book, in the chapter of Psalms 119 as we go through and we study this great psalm. Last week we covered verses 9 through 16, which was identified by the Hebrew alphabet letter Beth, which means house. God's house is our heart. He should rule in our house. And so, in review real quickly, we need to meditate on God's Word so that we might establish ourselves in the Lord. So in verses 9 through 11, you see that we as Christians, or anyone who takes God's Word, are cleansed by the Word. The psalmist in verse 9 asks an insightful question: wherewithal shall young man what? Cleanse his way. And we know that that shows a recognized need. We need cleansing every day, folks. And that shows maturity, that first of all, you would ask the question, and then you would know what the answer is. And the answer is by taking heed to the Word of God. It was an inspired answer. First of all, we need to submit to God. Submit yourselves to God, and He'll lift you up. We need to surrender to God in four areas. We need to surrender to God in our life's pursuits. The Bible calls that our conversation. We need to surrender to God in prayer and take our focus on our prayers off of personal things and put it on spiritual things. We need to put our focus in life in purpose. And then we need to do it in performance. Verses 12 through 14 talk about being blessed by the Word. In verse 12, we see an adoration for God. God alone is worthy for praise. He alone is worthy for glory, because He's all those things. We see an appeal to God in verse 12 also. And then an acclamation or an affirming of God, or praising God with our lips. And then an affinity for God. We need to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Verses 15 through 16. We need to be delighted by the Word, and we'll see that again tonight. We need to reflect on it and to meditate on it. We need to respect it. We need to relish or to cherish it. And then we need to remember it. In verse 16, it says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. That's a choice that we make. Oh, folks, I hope that we'll make that choice, that we'll make that commitment to delight ourselves in the Word of God. And then, I will not forget thy Word. Oh, how many times do we forget things? We can't forget God. How many times that we get upset at things? We can't get upset at God. We need to delight in His Word. And so, as Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 says, let him cleanse the church by the washing of water by the Word. So let God cleanse and lead us. So tonight, we are going to look at God's wondrous Word. Psalm 119 talks about the ministry of the Word of God. And it says we need to understand that we must open our insight, our spiritual eyes of God through His Word. So we're going to be looking at Psalm chapter 119, verses 17 through 24 tonight. The letter is Gimel. Gimel, it means camel. And think of what a camel does in the Middle East. He was the pack mule of the day. And you know, a camel has to kneel down. A camel has to kneel down to get burdened. Folks, when we are burdened, we need to kneel down to God in prayer. And then when we kneel down in prayer, it's also when he kneels down, the burden can be also lifted. The camel basically stores up water so it can go great distances. We need to thirst and hunger after righteousness so that we could be filled. The camel was a nomadic beast. It's a traveler. Folks, this world is not our home. We're just what? We're just pilgrims. and you're travelers through this time. So with those thoughts in mind, we turn our focus to the Word. And in verse 17, the psalmist writes, he says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I might live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselor." This 8-verse stanza of this has two main points. The first one is found in verses 17 through 20, and I broke that up on the slides that way. The first thing is we need to be open and have an openness to the Word. An openness to the Word. This is basically a prayer. And the first thing that the psalmist asks for is a prayer for blessing. He says, "I need your blessing to give me spiritual life. No other place can you get spiritual life except from God." And it's His blessing that does that. He says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant." We just don't want a little bit of God's blessing. We want all of it. We want so much that it overflows. We want so much that it comes out of us. And the psalmist is looking at this word. He says, "I love this so much. I just want you to pour everything you can into me, God." And folks, we need that in desperate times. We need that. You know, we need to understand that God gives us spiritual life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "Being born what again?" You cannot get to heaven unless you've been born again. A spiritual birth. Not just a physical birth. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible." By the what? Word of God. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, which liveth and" what? "Abideth forever. The heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will not pass away." We need to keep focused on all the things that's being preached here, because they're all interconnected. And so he says, "Deal bountifully. God, just give me everything that you think that I need. And give me more. And then give me more. Deal bountifully with thy servant." It is a prayer for blessing to give spiritual life. Secondly, he says here, "that I might" what? "Live and keep thy word." We need God to sustain our spiritual life. Salvation is just a beginning. It's preparation for eternity. But from that point on, we are His workmanship, created to do what? Good works. We're supposed to be light. We're supposed to be salt. We're supposed to be ambassadors. We're supposed to be ministers of reconciliation. Those things sustain us. In John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, we can see this. We need to dwell in Christ. We need to abide in Him. He says, "I am the vine, ye are the" what? "Branches." And in verses 4 and 5 he says, "Abide, live in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye" what? "Abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Not just a little bit, but much fruit. For what? For without me, ye can do nothing. Without God, you don't have a home in heaven. Without God, you don't have His grace. Without God, you don't have spiritual life. Without God, you don't have the power to do things that we're supposed to do. So in verse 17, we see a prayer for blessing to give spiritual life. And then also to, not only that, but also to sustain it. To keep it. To keep it. In verse 18, there's a prayer to see God's work. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know, God allows us to see the wondrous things of God through His Word. We have to be quickened. We have to be regenerated. We have to be instructed by the Holy Spirit in the Word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "But the natural man receiveth what? Not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness unto him. Neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned." We need to have God give us 20/20 spiritual vision. We need to open our eyes and see that the fields are ripe unto harvest. We need to open our eyes and see there's others that have need. The story of the Good Samaritan, where the Samaritan saw the need, but the other two, the religious people, didn't see the need. See, God allows us to see the wondrous things of God, so we want to see more. See, this whole purpose of this stanza is to get more. Deal bountiful with me. Give me spiritual life. Sustain me. Increase me. Okay? He must increase. I must decrease. God allows us to see the wondrous things of God. For night after night, they utter a speech that's understood by all. What are the wondrous works? They are things that point to God's creation and redemptive actions. They're things that point to God, why He is God, and what He as God has done. And what He as God has done. And there's three things that we need to understand about this. The first one is that creation and all redemption actions are all the things that God does. Those are the things that He does. He created the universe so we could know that there's a God, so we'd be searching for Him. In Psalm chapter 72, verse 18, "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things." Without Him, ye can do nothing. We have to abide in Him. Things that point to God's creation and redemptive action are all those things that only God does. Okay? And only God can do them. Everything else is a cheap imitation. Everything else is a cheap imitation. Psalm 86, verse 10. "For thou art great and doest" what? "Wondrous things." Everybody say amen. Amen. He doeth wondrous things. "Thou art" what? "God alone. There is no other God but me." So, things that point, these wondrous works are things that point to God's creation and redemptive actions. Those are the things that only, that's what God does. And then they're only that God can do. George spent his early years shuffled between foster homes till one day Maria Watkins, a childless washerwoman, found him asleep in her barn. But she didn't just take him in. She took him to church and introduced him to Jesus. When eventually he left her home, he took with him the Bible she'd given him. Maria left her mark on his life, and George Washington Carver left his mark on the world. This father of modern agriculture was a friend to three presidents, as well as Henry Ford and Gandhi. He's credited with over 300 inventions. And the remarkable thing is, despite his early disadvantages, this orphan boy never became bitter or made excuses. Instead, he went into his lab each morning and prayed Psalm 119:18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Amen. God's word can take you out of any situation, and you can see the wondrous things, and he can make you a wondrous person for him. For him. You know, the most frequent miracle that Christ performed was he healed the blind. He also raised the dead, he cast out demons. But the most notable one was he healed the blind. In Mark chapter 8, there was a guy at Bethesda. He was blind. And so it says in the scripture that God spit on his eyes and he opened his eyes. And he says, I see men like trees walking. And see, what the point is here is that God had given him something he'd never seen before, but he wanted more. He couldn't understand that. And so he says, I see man as trees. And so God, Christ, touched his eyes, and then he saw everything clearly. Folks, we need to keep on coming back to God so we can see more and more clearly. The problem with the world is having eyes they what? See not. Having ears they hear not. That should not be in the Christian's life. We should be wanting to see the wondrous works of God. And now that we see Him, we want to learn more of God. And that'll drive us into His Word. You know, there's a lesson in this for us. Because without God touching our vision, we'll stumble through life. We'll stumble through life. You know, in reality, Thomas Edison saw the incandescent light bulb before he even invented it. Think about this. Bill Gates saw a personal computer in everybody's house when people said it's going to take 40 years to do it. Folks, we see the God of the universe. Amen. And we need to see Him for His wondrous works. And that should make us want Him even more. You know, after Christ was resurrected, there's these two disciples and they're walking down the road to Emmaus. And Christ comes and appears to them. And it says in the Bible, their eyes were held down that they did not see Him. And Christ says, why are you so sad? And then they turned to Him and He said, haven't you heard what happened? They crucified Jesus. And this is the third day. We don't know anything about it. And it says in the passage, it says that Christ began and opened the scriptures and showed them. And then their eyes were what? Opened. And then he vanished out of their sight. And what did they say when their eyes? Did not our heart burn within us when we heard the things that he said, the wondrous things that he said. Oh, folks, we need to have God open our eyes. We think that we might be seeing clearly, but we see men as trees walking. We need God to give us crystal clear vision. And that's found in His Word. That's found by listening to Him. And so it's a prayer to see God's works. It's a prayer that the world cannot answer. Man, I don't care how they are, can't give you the spiritual insight that God can give. No matter how many books they write, how many songs they write, how spiritual, they are no replacement for God. We need to study the Word of God. In John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into what? All truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you what things to come." For centuries, many Christians were not permitted to read God's Word. And in the Dark Ages, if you wanted God's Word, you had to go and learn them in Latin. And then you couldn't have a copy of it. And then a man in 1516 by the name of Erasmus, a Dutch scholar, he compiled and published the first New Testament in Greek. This was a basis and a reference for Luther's German Bible, for Tyndale's English Bible, and also for the version that we use, the King James. And made the Scriptures understandable for the common person. In the preface, he writes this. He says, "I would have the Gospels and the Epistles translated into all languages. I long for the plowboy to sing them to himself as he plows as he follows the plow, and the weaver to hum them to the tune of his shuttle." Folks, we need to understand that we have the advantage of having God's Word here. And so many times we just close the Bible, set it on a table and the thing, we never open it up. Oh, have God open our eyes that we'll open up His Word and we'll see His wondrous works. That should be our prayer. That should be our prayer to have Him deal bountifully with us. Open and keep us, you know, open so that we can keep His Word, that we can live, that we can behold wondrous things out of His law. Is a prayer that the world cannot answer. It's Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. It says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by Thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Folks, we have the privilege of having the Word of God. We need to use it. We need to ask God to open up our eyes. In verse 20, there's a desire to see the prayer answered. He says, in verse 19, he says, "I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not Thy commandments from me." And we need to show them like Erasmus did. "My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto Thy judgments at all times." See, this issue for breaketh is the same one that means broken. It means to be crushed. In Psalm 51, verse 17, it says, the sacrifices of God are a what? A broken or a crushed heart. We talked about this, that this is basically how you take an apothecary and you put a mortar and pestle, you put it in there and you grind it up. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. And so he says here, he says, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 44, the first part of this verse, it says, and whosoever shall fall upon this stone shall be broken. Folks, I think it's time to swallow our pride and fall at the feet of Christ. Amen. And let Him humble us.
Amen.
And let us grow. Let us put in a heart that's willing to be malleable and formed by Him and molded by Him, and give us some spiritual eyesight that we can start seeing more clearly. And then as we see more clearly, ask God to give us better eyesight and we see even clearer. So we can see His wondrous works. That should drive us into seeing His wondrous works even more by studying His Word. The term longing means fervent desire. You know, when we talk about spiritual practices, there's a lot of things that are fervent. The effectual fervent, what? Prayer. Fervent desire. My heart burns for this, okay? And we need to understand that. We need to, He has a desire to see the prayer answered. You know, sometimes we just pray and we just go through the motions. You know that, what that is? That's being double-minded. And the Bible says in the book of James, it says, don't think that that man will get anything from God. You have to ask in faith, what? Believing. Believing. The psalmist believed here. He believed that this was going to happen. Folks, come out of here tonight knowing that, open my eyes, deal bountiful with me. I'm a stranger here. I'm a camel. Give me the direction. Help me on my journey. I can see Your wondrous works, that I want to see them more.
Amen.
Amen.
Break me. Make this become something that's I want to ingest into my life. Well, that's openness to the Word. Verses 17 through 20. But you know, when there's ever forward progress, there's also friction. And the psalmist acknowledges here in verses 20 to 21 that there's going to be opposition to the Word. But there's a fundamental truth here that's found in verse 21. It says, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. See, God rebukes the arrogant for their pride. You know, those are one of those seven things that God hates in the book of Proverbs. In Isaiah chapter 13, verse 11, it says, and I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to what? Cease. Remember, we're just traveling through this land. We're just traveling through this world, which will and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. See, God rebukes the arrogant for their pride. Because God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the what? Humble. God rebukes the arrogant for their waywardness. It says, which do err from thy commandments. You know, there's the right way and the wrong way. The right way is God's way. The wrong way is everything else.
Right.
Simple. Get 100%. It's there. It's right there. Everybody passes if we could ever get that. But open my eyes. Let me see this. Let this burn in my heart. So God rebukes the arrogant in verse 21. And then verse 22, there's a prayer to God when opposed. You know, sometimes we sit here and we kind of let things go. And we need to stand up for what the truth is. Okay? We need to have a prayer for God when opposed. You know why? Because if you just keep on hearing the opposition, what does that do to your spirit? It discourages you. It makes you to become desperate. Okay? We need encouragement. In verse 22 it says, "Remove from me reproach and contempt." Get this way. You're not going to solve it, because if you try to deal with someone, you're just going to be in an argument, it's going to make it worse. Let God fight your battles.
Yeah.
Okay? He's got the truth. We need the encouragement. Psalm chapter 69, verse 20 says, "Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I look for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforts, but I found none." You're not going to find comfort in this world. You're going to find comfort only in God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's a prayer to God. "Remove from me reproach and contempt." David over and over and over again says, do this. He says, "All the enemies compass me about." Luke chapter 18, verse 1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." We should have such a desire for the Word of God that that's our go-to place when something happens. When something happens. So we see in verse 21 that God rebukes the arrogant. We see in verse 22 there's a prayer to God when opposed for encouragement. And then there's a prayer to God when opposed when you're faithful. The Bible says in Psalms, it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." We went through Isaiah, and Isaiah says, God's not answering your prayer because you're turning away from Him. You don't see Him. You don't praise Him. How can we have God answer us and deal with His bounty if we don't have a relationship with Him? If we don't praise Him? It says, "Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies." He says, look, he says, I've been faithful. In John 14, verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is he that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will" what? Will what?
Manifest.
What does that mean? He'll show himself to you. You'll see his wondrous works. You won't be blinded. And manifest myself to him. Psalm 78, verse 7, it says, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Oh, it's a prayer when you are faithful. It's a prayer for encouragement. In verse 23, we see that God's Word is a refuge when pressured publicly. It says here, it says, "Princes." Now, this is just not princes in the political sense. This is also princes as in the heads of families or tribes. Okay? Or in, you know, the human relationships that you're in. It says, "Princes also did sit and speak against me." Remember Christ? He said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they speak against me, they're going to speak against you. So the psalmist is finding out this. God's Word is a refuge when pressured publicly. In Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, it says, "And when they shall bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what things ye should answer or what ye shall say." But you better know God's Word.
Right.
You better know God's Word so the Holy Spirit has something to work with.
Yeah.
God's not going to give you inspiration in that time and bring all these verses unless you've studied them and hidden them in your heart. It says, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say, but it's going to be based on God's Word. So God's Word is a refuge when we're pressured publicly. God's Word is a refuge when we meditate on His statutes. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did what?
Meditate
in thy statutes. Folks, we need to look at what's going on in the world today, and we need to meditate on the Word of God. We need to meditate on the Word of God when our life events each day happen, and see what these, because everything that comes in our life is an opportunity to either get closer to God or get further away from Him. In Psalm 119, verse 15, last week he says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. What's this mean? It's a choice that we have to make. God's not going to force us to do this. We have to choose to do this. You know, you fall asleep in class, and you wake up and you don't learn anything. Hey, you fall asleep in church, same thing happens. You fall asleep spiritually and the same thing happens. Things come in your life and you have nothing to stand on because you didn't listen. You didn't have your eyes open. God's Word is a refuge. And lastly, in verse 24, God's Word makes a difference. God's Word will make a difference in your life when it is our focus. It says, thy testimonies are also my delight. The very first psalm, we used this last week, Psalm 1 verse 2, it says, but His delight is in the what? Law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. In Psalm 37 verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the who? The Lord. And He delighteth in the way that God's taken him. God's Word makes a difference when it is our focus. God's Word makes a difference when we take its advice. And that's a change in advice. Okay? That's a change in advice. We need to stop listening to the world and start listening to God.
Amen.
He says, thy testimonies are also my delight and my what? My counselors. My counselors. Psalm 73 verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 24, where no counsel is, the people what? Fail. Where the Word of God doesn't exist in a Christian's life, they're setting themselves up for failure. When, just like David, when he picks up Goliath's sword, no other swords like that, he had victory in his hand, he went on to play the madman. Folks, we need to have a change in what advice that we listen to. We need to be in wonder at the wonder of His Word. In the darkness of our world, God shines His light. He opens His eyes, our eyes, that we can see His wonders. Since we are strangers here, it is He who reveals His commandments to us. In this, our longing for His Word is satisfied, and His Word becomes our counselor. I'll close with this. William Wilberforce was a clever debater. He lived from 1759 to 1833. He was a shrewd politician and popular socialite. At 21, he became a member of Parliament in England. It was a time of terrible moral and spiritual decline. The rich were making a mockery of marriage. The poor were downtrodden. And the slave trade was booming. Sounds familiar, huh? For a time, Wilberforce went along with these evils, thinking only of his personal ambitions. But when he was 25, he traveled to France with one of his former teachers, Isaac Milner. During this trip, Wilberforce read and studied the Bible with Milner. Before long, he surrendered his life to Christ and was transformed. The parties he once enjoyed now seemed indecent. The plight of the poor now troubled him, and he soon became the leader in the battle against slavery, which was abolished in England in 1833. God's Word makes a difference in our lives if we just listen to it. We need to stand and wonder at the wonder of His Word. In 1985, Craig Wandel drove his garbage truck to a Wendy's restaurant to pick up their trash and drove away $200,000 richer. The previous week, when he stopped at Wendy's, he rummaged through the garbage and pulled a contest sticker off a cup. That time he won a free chicken sandwich. This is true. This time he found a cup and figured, hey, I'd like to get some fries to go with it. When he pulled the sticker off, it read, congratulations, you have won $200,000. Now think about that. Someone had that cup and threw it away. We have the Word of God. We can't throw it away. When we basically see what's in it, it should want us to come back for more, and we're going to find more riches than we ever thought possible. Oh, let's take the time to read it. Job chapter 23, verse 12 says this, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And Job was going through a whole bunch of trouble then. Folks, let's delight in the Word of God. Let's ask God to open our eyes that we can see his wondrous works and want us to know even more. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask, help us, Lord, to open our eyes. Open our eyes for us, Lord, that we can see you. Lord, help us to have a clear vision of you tonight as we leave this place, Lord, and that vision increases and gets clearer every day that we live. Help us, Lord, to understand that we need your blessings, that your wondrous works are to cause us to want you more. Lord, I pray if there's someone here who does not know you, Lord, as Savior, I pray that tonight they will realize that you died on the cross for their sins, were buried, rose again the third day. And that they just call on you for forgiveness of sins and give them eternal life, that you'll do that. Lord, for us, help us be more like you. But Lord, only because we have a better vision of you. Help our vision, Lord. Be thou our vision. We give you this time of invitation. We ask that you rule and have your way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.